Fred Film Radio, Seattle International Film Festival.
Angela Cherby for Fred Film Radio. We are in Seattle at the Seattle International Film Festival, and we are here with Chika Anadu, director of Beef Boy. Hello, Chika, how are you?
Hello, Angela. I'm fine.
You are here, your movie's here, part of the African section that this year is really big and interesting here in Seattle. What was your experience with the festival so far?
Well, it's been good, and yes, it is part of the African Pictures, but it's also in competition in the new directors section as well.
So you have a double...
I do, which is nice. You don't want to be pigeonholed, so no, it's nice,
right.
Yeah.
Listen, let's talk about your movie a little bit, especially because it treats about an issue that is really controversial, mm-hmm. which is a kind of a tradition in Nigeria mm-hmm. for that concern the male son. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us something about it?
The film does discuss sort of sheds light on the issue of the importance of a male child, you know, because in my culture, my ethnic group, a male child is considered more important than a female child, and it's imperative that a woman give birth to a boy. Otherwise, there'll be consequences. And the consequences in the case of Beefa Boy, is that, you know, a second wife will be brought in, you know, for the man to try again, to try and have a male child. And but I don't want people to watch the film and take only that away from it. It is more than a cultural kind of film. I think it's more about, you know, gender. And gender discrimination, because that is what it is. If you're saying that a male child or a male anything is better than a female anything, that is gender discrimination. So that's how I approach the film, and that's what I hope people will also be able to see in the film. So it's not so that the story, it's not something far away from them, so they're not thinking, oh, this is this foreign thing, because, you know, if they're not Nigerian, or, you know, I want them to be able to identify and say, okay, you know, maybe this specific situation doesn't happen, but, you know, I experience an aspect of it here, you know, wherever it is I come from.
And how are Nigerian women deal with this? I mean, I was wondering watching the movie, because it was mm-hmm. my first thought, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, because this is not happening like 50 years ago, is mm-hmm. happening now. So
yeah.
it's a contemporary issue in a modern society.
I think the thing is that no one is really dealing with it. It's just, yeah. It is what it is. And when something is wrapped up as in a package of culture, then you sort of, what you've done is shut down any opportunity or for conversation about it, because it's your culture, so that's the end of it.
That's it.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
So there's nothing else to say, because are you going to start fighting your culture and your people? Mm-hmm. And that's how they shut people up. And, you know, unfortunately for them, I'm not, I question everything, and I cannot be shushed. So,
no, yeah, okay.
So this is, you know, so for me, it was important for me to talk about this, because no one is talking about it. And how does change happen? People need to start talking.
Exactly.
But
is there any kind of male concern about this? So maybe there are some men that are not, they do not agree with this, so they are not that into this kind of tradition.
Yes, there will be some men, and I, you know, at least I know a handful of my friends, who male friends, Nigerian friends, who don't think that this is a good thing. But, you know, it's I guess because it's not personal, they don't feel it's personal to them, so they're not going to do anything about it or talk about it or, you know, make any noise about it. It's just when you're talking amongst each other, then you say, oh no, that's rubbish and all that. So it is up to, I think it is up to perhaps Nigerian women, because we're the ones who are being affected, to then, you know, speak for ourselves and fight for ourselves, and then hopefully, you know, we can get men on board, because, you know, so that people don't sort of dismiss it as, oh, this women and this feminists, it's very easy. But if there are men on there, then all of a sudden, you know, it has validity. It's a shame that we need that, but, you know.
Listen, being this issue so controversial, was it difficult for you to produce the movie? I mean, to do the movie, was it a long process?
Yeah, it was a long process, and it was difficult, but not because of the subjects, because, to be honest, this subject has been dealt with many times in many Nigerian films. It's just that they haven't been dealt with in this way. and unlike my film that sort of had an open-ended ending and wasn't, I hope, judgmental of anyone. It was just showing, you know, a situation. Other Nigerian films that I've seen that dealt with this, you know, always sort of, you know, you always ended, you know, the way it does in real life. You know, they just show, you know, the woman conforms at the end and, you know, and then everybody lives happily ever after. So it's never, no one has ever sort of like made the film or talked about the subject in a sort of challenging way, and I hope that's what I did. But the difficulties were in just trying to organize everything because I produced it, and it was financed by my family and my producing partner's family. So it was, you know, me having to wear this many different hats.
Exactly. Yeah, this was my next question. Yeah. Why did you chose to do that? I mean, and why, I can imagine, mm-hmm. but and how did it work?
Well, you know, it wasn't really, I didn't have a choice. That was the problem, because we don't have proper film schools in Nigeria, so you don't have the technical people to be able to support you and, you know, all those different roles. You know, there's, you cannot find a proper casting director who understands what that is and the importance of casting right. And, you know, you cannot find a proper DP or you know, proper location scout or proper, you know, entertainment lawyer. You find entertainment lawyers, but not ones that, you know, that you can work with, you know, properly and who understand what it is you're trying to achieve. So for me, you know, I had to do all those things. I drafted the contracts because I knew what I wanted to get from people and what, you know, what I wanted them to commit to. And casting, because I wrote the script, I'm the director, so I know who I want. And I was lucky that I got good people. And location scouting, again, I wrote the script, I'm the director. It makes sense that I would know when I see the place that this is where I should do it. It's not, unfortunately, there's no, there's certainly nothing like, you know, learning how to be a location scout, or it's not, people don't approach filmmaking, you know, cinematically, really, in Nigeria. It's just a new thing that's happening. People just, you know, record, you know, they get their cameras and record. They don't think cinematically because they haven't, you know, they don't understand the language of film because they haven't, there's nowhere for them to learn it, you know. But people, exactly, but we learn by doing, and I think that's what is happening in my country now, which is nice, you know. And, you know, I learned by, because from when I was a child, I've been watching so many films.
But actually, you know, your movie as this particular difference from many other Nigerian movies, mm-hmm. I saw that it's less Nigerian looking.
It's
in terms of movie making, is really much more closer to the movies we are used to watch.
I think you know, the word is it's cinematic, because it's made for cinema. When you're making a film for television or for the internet, it's different.
Yeah.
The considerations are different. Even how you shoot it is different. The kind of cameras you use. So you have to take all these things into considerations. Again, it comes down to education. So when you understand the language of cinema, which is different from just the language of video, and, you know, it's a different language, and you have to learn that either by consuming other cinematic work, which is what I did. That was my film school, because I didn't study film, you know, or you go to film school and learn that. And a lot of Nigerians, unfortunately, don't have that opportunity. And I've been lucky.
And listen, after all this multitasking job that you did, once the movie was done, how did you approach the selling? I mean, the selling in terms of making the film seen,
okay,
by the word.
Well, with my short films, and I'd already sort of met programmers from other film festivals, from, you know, good film festivals. And then when we premiered in London at the London Film Festival in 2013, you know, that really helped, because London is an important place just because it's London, and the film festival is put up by the BFI, the British Film Institute, and my film was a competition there, first feature competition. So that gave me, you know, good exposure.
Good visibility. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, my film was reviewed by the Hollywood Reporter, Time Out, and we got good reviews. So after that, other film festivals came knocking and wanted the film. So I was very fortunate, because it's especially when you're starting out, where you premiere is very important, and I was very lucky, very lucky.
And now, which is the following life of the movie besides Seattle Are you traveling a lot?
We've been traveling for the last 9 months, I would say. About 9 months we've been traveling. And next I'm in Durban, South Africa with the film. But in terms of distribution, we're looking into self-distribution in Nigeria and also putting it in the cinemas. We don't have a lot of cinemas, so self-distribution and taking the films to actual to different communities by ourselves is something we really want to do. And we're looking at a small release in the UK, probably London, 2 or 3 cinemas, and maybe elsewhere. And also online, because that would be the best way to reach a wider audience all over, you know. So, and we're going to try and use, you know, the platforms of all these film festivals we've been to, because we've been lucky to have been to some prestigious film festivals. So when our film is available online to watch, you know, we'll be sure to inform them, and then they can tell their audience and people who didn't get to see the films when it was playing. So it's very exciting, and all this we intend to do certainly before the end of the year, so then the film can have a life of its own, and hopefully can also bring more exposure to me as a director and help me move forward in terms of work in the future.
Do you have the time to think about a new project while you're traveling around, or are you working on something new?
That's all I do think. You know, I refuse to write anything down because I'm afraid of being sucked into that whole thing again of doing everything myself, and I really cannot. I can't do it again. Especially not this soon. I'm still recovering. So, you know, what I'm doing now is looking for smaller and shorter term projects, because I shot this film in 17 days, but the whole process of the concept of the film right up to when it was finished and in the can was 3.5 years. So directing for just 17 days in 3.5 years, and I'm a director, it's not good enough for me. So yeah. I want to do things that don't demand years of my life. You know, just for one project. So I want to do TV, adverts, and also sort of hone my skills as a director, because the more you direct, the better you should get.
So that's
what I want to do, you know, in the next at least year and a half. I want to concentrate on that. And then before I start thinking about actually, you know, making a plan for my next, because I have plans for features and even TV shows that I want to do, TV shows for Nigeria. So I'm excited to get on that, but I think for now I need to just think smaller, because I've been thinking big for so long and I needed to, but now I think it's time to think smaller and because it would be better for my career. I want a long career. I don't want something that would just be short-lived. So and you know, when you're doing something, when you're thinking long term, you have to take baby steps.
Baby steps, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for being with us. It was Chika Anadu from the Seattle International Film Festival, Angela Cherby for Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.